Hi, I'm Glenn Elliott, lead pastor at Pantano Christian Church. Welcome to our podcast. This message is part of a series called Genuine. I'm a frugal person, and sometimes I buy cheaper imitation knockoff items rather than the real thing just to save money. And in the world of jeans or watches, that can be a really wise move. But when it comes to faith, only the real deal works. What the world desperately needs are genuine Christians who are living an authentic faith. Only a real faith can present the real Jesus. And in the end, only a genuine faith will fill our deepest desires. Genuine faith propels us to experience adventure and vitality of all that it means to follow Jesus. In this series, we're going to look at the letter called 2 Corinthians. And our purpose is to rediscover and live out authentic Christianity.
Well, this is it. Everybody's like, what? What is it? It's the last week of this series on Genuine. I hope you've enjoyed it. We've looked through the Apostle Paul's eyes as he wrote 2 Corinthians. Here's a man who was an incredible, passionate persecutor of Jesus to becoming an incredibly man who was passionate about teaching people about Jesus. And we see through this book, as he was being challenged, his integrity was on the line. He was being questioned. And how did he respond? He responded by continuing to share with us, what does it look like to be a genuine person? Things like, how do you build a bridge to someone else? How do you live in a transformed state? And as he began to put all these themes together, we come to the end of 2 Corinthians. And I think the end of the book is really about the beginning. Because a genuine life, a true genuine life, begins with surrender. Paul experienced that himself in Acts chapter 9. Here is this passionate man thinking he was on the right path. This is what it's all about. God, I'm defending your honor. I'm getting rid of these heretics, these people that follow this guy named Jesus. And God said, no. Wrong, Paul. And got Paul's attention and transformed his life. And Paul in that moment surrendered. And began to take that passion and put it in a whole different direction. And we get to see that. And now we see this place in 2 Corinthians where he is being asked. And he could certainly stand up and share with all these people why they are wrong to question him as an apostle. While they are wrong to question him, this great missionary. But he doesn't. He continues over and over to share what it means to be a broken person, to have a genuine life, to live a life of surrender. And I think it's one of his greatest books because it invites us, it invites me, it invites you to walk into a relationship with God, not because we've done everything right, but because we've learned to surrender those things and live genuine. Jesus never asked us or called us to live perfect, but to live genuine lives. I remember when I surrendered my life. I was 10 years old. I was at a church camp. And I remember sitting down in these old wooden chairs, the end of one of the messages on Friday night saying, I think I'm ready. I think I'm ready to make that decision. And going forward, making that decision and going back to our churches that weekend and getting baptized. I remember that surrender of my life. At 10 years old, you think, you know, okay, it's a big step. The problem at 10 years old and the problem at any point in time is learning to live with the terms of the surrender. It's one thing to say, I give up. I give in to you, God. It's another to say, now what exactly does that mean when you say all? You want me to surrender all? Well, what exactly does that look like? And this is a hard concept anyway when we talk about surrender, right? Because we live in a world culturally that says what? Never give up. Never surrender. Never give in. And that's the one thing that Jesus says for us to do. Surrender. And we think oftentimes of surrender as, you know, when you're a little kid and you're on your stomach and your big brother, big sister's got your arm behind your back says, say uncle, We think of, okay, I'm going to say uncle because this hurts too much. Well, then it's like, haha, I made you say uncle, and you got to live with that the rest of your life, right? So you're given, you fight and fight and fight as hard as you can. That's how we look at surrender oftentimes. It's that giving up. It's throwing up the white flag. I can't do this. But Jesus's perspective of surrender is a little bit different. It ends up working a little bit different. I experienced that when I went off to college. And getting ready to go to college, I had decided I was going to be a photographer. So I was in middle school. I saved up money, my own money, worked odd jobs. I saved over $350 to buy a Canon AE-1. I still have that camera. Can't buy film for it, but I still have that camera. But I was so excited to learn photography. I joined a local club in our town, a photography club, went on photography shoots. When I got into high school, I joined the yearbook, became the photo editor of the yearbook so I could learn more photography. I was looking at an art school in LA to say, this is where I'm going to go so I can learn photography. And along the way, I said, all right, I'm going to go to Bible college for a year just because I know that'll be a good foundation for whatever else I do. And it was at the end of that freshman year in college that I realized the terms of surrender were greater than just that act when I was 10. It was like, okay, God, you have given me a desire to take pictures and to be a photographer, which is great, but you want me to do something else, don't you? And is that fresh at the end of that first year of college where I surrendered that dream, that desire, and picked up another one and stayed in Bible college and continued to go into vocational ministry. And that was just one more reminder in my life of what God was calling when he said, I want you to surrender, not just once, but I want you to live in a place of surrender. And we see this here in Paul's life. As we begin to open up 2 Corinthians, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to see what Paul means, how he explains that a genuine life begins with surrender. He shares this so vividly and so clearly. He begins chapter 12 by sharing a couple of things, intimate things about his life that he hasn't shared. The first part is he had a vision. At some point in his life, 14 years ago, before he's writing this, he had this vision. Not only a vision, but he was literally in paradise. He met Jesus somehow, some way. He can't explain it. He said it's so amazing, he can't even put to words this experience. And he says, I could go on and on about this. And when you start thinking about how powerful an experience that is, and that people were actually questioning his motives at this point in his ministry, you begin to look at that and go, how can you possibly question a man who's seen Jesus the way he has? But Paul hadn't stood in that place. He had not ever shared this before. And he starts in verse 7. After he's explained that, he starts in verse 7. He says these words: to keep me from becoming conceited, becoming arrogant because of these surpassingly great revelations, I've experienced something maybe no other man has, but to keep me humble, there was given me a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Paul begins to share the second intimate thing that he hasn't shared about what is going on in him, what he's had to live with. The words he uses here about torment, this isn't a casual little hangnail. This isn't just this irritating thing that his nose was crooked. This was a deep agony, pain. Some of you who live with arthritis know what that means. Some of you live with other illnesses or diseases. You know the pain that comes from them that you can't get away from it. You have a great day if it just doesn't hurt so much. Paul lives with this daily. Some level of pain that he doesn't walk around crying about and whining about, doesn't share it, except right here in this passage when he's talking about how wonderful an experience he's been given and then what a humbling experience he lives with. Verse 8, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me. God, take this. Remove this. See, in our culture, that's where we live, don't we? Something is painful, what do? We cry out to God not to help us cope, not to learn the lesson that is in it. But we cry out to God to remove it. This is the place that we live. We like to live comfortable. And so we move to that place first. And Paul moves there just like us because he is human. And he goes, God, take that. What are you doing? This is just going to slow me down. This is going to get in my way. This is going to keep me from doing all the things you want me to do. And God says, I don't think so. He says this to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. If we were all super Christians, wore big S on our chest, went around saving the world all the time, who's going to be the hero? God or us? God says, it's my strength, not yours. It's my grace, not yours. And that is perfected in your weakness. A genuine life begins with surrender. And as we surrender everything, our weaknesses, God's grace is made perfect. His power is made perfect in us. Therefore, I will boast, Paul says, all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. When Paul hears this message from God, he gets it. He understands. God, if your grace, if your power is going to be more, greater, perfected in me because I am weak, then I'm going to boast about how broken I am, how weak I am, how incapable I am, so that you and your power will become great and become strong and become perfect through me. Isn't that funny to think? I mean, it's hard to grasp because we live in a place, just work harder. You can do it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do it. We even use the Bible and teach ourselves. Yes, I can just do this. We kind of take that verse out of context because Paul says, and the Bible says, that verse really says you can endure all things. You cannot do all things. You can endure all things. Where? Because you're so strong? No. Because Christ strengthens us. It's the same message that Paul hears, that God says, my power, my grace is made perfect in your weakness. It's when we don't have that we experience the fullness of what God has. But if I don't submit, if I don't surrender those things, if I hold on to that thinking I can overcome, then I never get to experience God's grace and his power because it's all about me, my self-sufficiency. When I was in my first full-time ministry in Huntington Beach, I was asked at a staff meeting. We had 2.5 staff members. Well, the half was really a whole, but he only worked part-time at our church. Okay, so we were all at a breakfast. We had a breakfast staff meeting once a week, and we were all there, and our senior pastor was going to be leaving on vacation and asked, it's like 3 or 4 months away, and said, so Roger, are you ready? We'll have you preach while I'm gone. And I'm like, shock, pure shock at that point. I'm like, okay, sure. When is that? Let me write that down. Okay, I'm ready for that. See, my mom gave me this wonderful gift, this fear of being in front of people. And at that point, I was like, what? I was great in front of the kids and the youth group, and no problem. But adults? Okay. So I left that breakfast meeting and we drove back to the office and we walk in the office. It's been less than 30 minutes since we talked about this. I walk in, I go right into his office because by the time I'm walking into the office, my knees are knocking. I can hardly breathe. I'm feeling anxiety already for something that's 3 months away. And I walk into his office. I can't do it. You can't do what? I can't preach for you. You got to get somebody else. I can't do it. I got to go. I was so stressed out by that already. Well, God continued to obviously push and say, no, you've got to surrender that. You can't keep living in this place of fear. You've got to get rid of that. You've got to give that over to me. One more way that God continued and continues in my life to say, surrender. Surrender that. Let that go. Let me show you who I am. You get out of the way. So I boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses. Isn't that great? Isn't that great permission for us to be able to take pride, to boast? Yeah, I can't do that. But you did it. No, I didn't do it. Isn't it great? There's no way. But watch. Because God's power is perfect. I could not love you. You were just not lovable to me. I cannot ever love you. No, there is no way. But you do love me. Yeah, I do. It's not really me though. Because trust me, if it was just up to me, I wouldn't love you. But God's power, His grace is made perfect in me. Isn't it great? God is a great God because you definitely are not lovable. See how that works? But I have to be able to surrender my heart to His love. So that it's not about what makes me comfortable. It's about what He's called me to. So in verse 10, that is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses. That's pretty American, isn't it? That's pretty much our culture. We love that. We love to be insulted. In insults, right? Weaknesses and insults. We just love to tell people how weak we are. We love to just, oh, thank you for insulting me. I appreciate that. I'm going to celebrate that. In hardships. Yeah, we love it when the gas in town goes off, doesn't it? Just really, we freak out. In hardships. In persecutions. Oh, that's even better. That's even better. In difficulties. Oh, we just love it when we have a flat tire. Oh, it's just like our whole day is ruined when something mechanical breaks. Paul says, I delight in these things. I delight in the brokenness of life, in the weaknesses, in the hardships. Why? For when I am weak, then I am strong. I live in a place of surrender when I am weak. When do we cry out to God? When it hurts. When we get to a place where we're desperate. When we're faced with a big decision. When do we not cry out to God? When it's just day to day. We think, oh, I can handle this, God. I'll do it just like I've always done it. Becomes routine. We become self-sufficient. We know how to get to there. So we just do it. But Paul says it's in all of these areas that remind me, that humble me, that cause me to surrender again to God and then to experience His power and His grace. A genuine life truly begins with surrender. Starting next week, we're going to have a series that talks about the power of God and tapping in to the power of God in our own lives. But that only begins when we surrender to that power. We've got to get this part and understand this piece. There's a song that I want to share with you. And I don't want to just share the song with you. Some of you will know it. Some of you will know the words. But I want to share with you where it came from. Because as we surrender, God's power is made perfect. This song is written by Judson Vandeventer in 1896. It came after a 5-year journey with God. He was a Christian, worked in the public school system, was a teacher, loved art, traveled around, went to museums, just had this love for art. and a love for the church at the same time, was very involved in his church, and the people around him said, you need to leave your job and you need to become an evangelist. And he's like, really? I don't know. 5 years he wrestled with this decision. 5 years. In 1896, he surrendered. He said, okay, God, I'm going to surrender to you. He says, shortly thereafter, God opened up in him a gift he never knew he had, and opened up his heart and gave him this song. This song has been sung for over 100 years. It's changed lives as a message, but the message is about him and his surrender to God. He went on to become an evangelist. He went on to be a professor. And one of his students in the 1930s, reflecting back, said about him, one of the evangelists who influenced my early preaching was also a hymnist, Judson Van Deventer. That person, that student that was in his class, was Billy Graham. The song, I Surrender All. I want to read the words of this song and give you a chance to reflect on it. Because some of you are sitting here going, yeah, I like God. He seems like a nice guy. I want to challenge you that today is the day to surrender. If you've never made that decision to surrender, to say, God, I'm pretty self-sufficient. And God goes, yeah, I know. I created you. I know all about you. But my grace is sufficient. Not all those circumstances, not what you think you have built out of your life. It is my grace and my power that I want to flow through you. But you have to choose it. You have to surrender. And some of you, many of you have already made the decision, yeah, I surrendered, but you're learning to live with the terms of that surrender. And there are pieces in your life that God is saying, yeah, you said you surrendered, but you haven't given up that for me yet. And what's this right here? And I want you to, just as I read these words, I want you to pray about that. And I want you to be asking God, because he'll reveal it in you. The power of God is supernatural. He will touch those places. He will show you. He will share with you. When you said all, that you would surrender all, God is saying, yeah, all means this and this and even this. And I want you to just to focus on those things, to see if you're holding something that you are using for self-sufficiency instead of the grace of God. I surrender all. The words are this: all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him, in his presence daily live. All to Jesus I surrender, humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken, take me, Jesus, take me now. All to Jesus I surrender, make me, Savior, wholly thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fill me with thy love and power, let thy blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender. Now I feel the sacred flame. Oh, the joy of full salvation. Glory, glory to his name. And the chorus: I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. If you're at that place where you're ready to experience surrender, where you're ready to say, I'm done holding on my way, we're ready today to do baptisms. We're ready to take you and say, this is an act of surrender. To say, is it time? Is today the day? I'm just going to ask you to stand up and walk over here. We'll meet you over there. We'll share with you. We will encourage you, and we will share with you what it means to surrender. For the rest of us, if you're at a place where, I surrendered, let's work on the word all. Let's talk about the word all. Are you holding on? Do you have things in your life, in your pocket, in your world that mean more to you, that you use as out of a place of self-sufficiency instead of a place of surrender with God? I want you to think about that for a while. I want you to consider that. And in a few minutes, as we take offering, I want you to consider making that part of your offering. For some of you, it's a big decision, like a career. You've been walking this career, and you've been trying to make this happen and doing this, and God is saying, that's not where I want you. That's why it's getting so difficult. Some of you, it's so easy in what you're doing, and God has been saying the whole time, yeah, I know it's easy. Are you ready to be persecuted and insulted for me? Because I got another plan over here for you that I really want to use you for. And it's about giving up that easy space that you live in. Some of you, it's a relationship. It may be that really difficult person to love that you don't want to, that you keep pushing away, that God keeps bringing back. And God says, will you get out of the way and love them like I love you? And you need to surrender your heart, your feelings. You need to surrender your bitterness to him so that he can fill you with his love and compassion for that person. Maybe it's your credit card. Maybe you don't have enough money every month to pay it off, but you use it and you keep it because it's security for you. And maybe you just need to fold it in half and throw it in the offering and say, this is yours, God. I depend on this instead of you. And you just need to toss it in. There's a lot of different things that God can put on your heart, because if we don't surrender today, we forfeit tomorrow for his cause. And all we do is continue to perpetuate this self-sufficiency. Where are we going to be? How is God going to use you? How is his grace and his power going to flow through you to reach the world? Paul is just one of my heroes. I mean, he lived a life that would make any pirate proud. He was shipwrecked. He was thrown in prison. He was beaten. He was stoned. He was in the middle of a mob and walked away unscathed. Amazing adventures. And all the time he celebrates, I'm weak. I'm insulted. I'm persecuted. And isn't God glorious? And culturally, we've done just the opposite. We've created this place that we live over here that is, oh, it's about comfort. It's about style. It's about fashion. It's about our image. It's about all these things. And God says, no, it's about here. It's about who I am, my identity, not what you've created. A genuine life begins with surrender. That power is not illustrated any better than Jesus giving up, surrendering heaven. Can you imagine surrendering the most perfect place ever? A place where you were honored and glorified and praised and recognized for the power that you have, and surrendering that to be limited in this human body, to be beat up, tortured, unrecognized by the people you created, to be that humiliated. Jesus surrendered his life so that you and I, who were powerless to come to God, could. He surrendered all of that for me, for you. And as we take communion in a few moments, celebrate that. Celebrate that glorious act of surrender that Jesus did, because when he died, all hope seemed lost. but his act of perfect surrender allowed God's power to be perfected in the weakness of his flesh as his body rose from the dead and said, not even death can keep God's power away. And that is our connection and our invitation with God. And then we'll take offering. And as offering comes, I know you've come prepared to give an offering. I'm going to ask you to give a surrender offering. And you can do that anyway. If you have something in your pocket that's representative of what you need to surrender, take it out and throw it in. If you have something, if you just grab a piece of paper somewhere and write on it what it is and just throw it in. Your act of surrender. And if that takes another step from here, I want to encourage you to take that wherever you go today and say, I surrendered this to God. Now, the terms of my surrender mean, and begin to live that out, because a genuine life begins with surrender. Let's pray. God, I thank you that Jesus loved me, loved us so much. He was willing to surrender everything that we might experience his glory, his power, your love. God, may we now in these moments be able to celebrate what you've done for us. But also, God, may we come to terms with what it means to surrender all. May you bring to our hearts, may you reveal in us, God, if there is anything keeping us from loving you fully, from obeying you fully, from experiencing your grace and your power perfectly, that we might surrender that today, and that we might be more genuine than ever before. In Jesus' name, amen.